Thank you, brother. And good afternoon. I have never heard our brother speak before. I've known him a long time. And he reminded me of what John said, I write to you young men because you are strong, vim, vigor, and vitality. The Lord bless you. Now you're not going to get that from me. I've passed that stage. You will remember that on Friday night, we began a consideration of the walk of the believer. And we considered on Friday night walking before the Lord. This afternoon, our subject, walking with the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. You see, our brother is very kind to you and to all of us. But I repeat, you know my habits. So we shall be turning to many scriptures. Just prepare. That's one way of keeping you awake. Genesis chapter 5. Walking with the Lord. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Has anybody here walked with God for 365 years? Please let me see your hand. How long have you been saved? Now, the next question doesn't necessarily correspond to the second, to the first. How long have you been saved? How long have you been walking with God? Two different things. Chapter 6. Verse 9. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Oh, you say to me, those were olden days. It was easy to walk with God. It's different today. I wonder if it's really different. What were the days like in the times of Enoch? Book of Jude, next to the last book in the Bible. What were the days like in the times of Jude? He walked with God. Book of Jude, please. Verse 14. Same Enoch that walked with God. Now, what was the world like and his situation, his environment, as we call it, when he was alive? Verse 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Read what's above and you'll see whom he prophesied of. Saying, behold the Lord, now here's his prophecy. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. Now notice that word ungodly and how many times it occurs in this verse. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which are ungodly. Oh my. How about his day? Who's ungodly? Are these days ungodly? Enoch walked with God. And what were the times like in Noah's day? Come back to chapter 6 of Genesis. Noah walked with God. Now, what were the times like when he walked with God? Verse 11. The earth was corrupt, filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The Lord said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence. Violence and corruption in Noah's day, but he walked with God. Is there violence and corruption in the world today? Some people say, well, in those days it was easy. Not from what I read. Violence and corruption. The same thing we have today. What else was true of Noah's day? Let's turn to the book of Job, please. Job chapter 22. And remember, Job lived very shortly after the flood. So he had some... when you have time, check Noah and his three sons and how that overlapped Abraham and the rest of them. So that Abraham was able to get it first class, first hand from Noah, just what happened. That makes a nice study. Now, Job chapter 22, verse 15. Eliphaz is speaking. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with the flood? Which flood? Noah's flood. That's what he's talking about. Now the next verse. What did they say? They said unto God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do for us? Sound like today? We don't want any God. Don't believe in God. Don't need him. Violence, corruption, no God. Gospel of Luke, please. Chapter 17. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Walking with God. Verse 26. Noah walked with God in the midst of these conditions. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, what did they do? They did eat. Are we doing that today? Oh, I admit many are starving. But you know, they have a group of people that call themselves, they have a fancy name. I don't recall it right now. Yes, gourmets. You see, whenever they speak a foreign language, then you get suspicious. Gourmets. They don't eat what we eat. Why, I had an associate, and he came back, he said he went down to either the Gimbals, Wanamage, or somebody, and he showed me this container. And he was a gourmet. And what do you think the container contained? Pickled ants. They did eat. And they did drink. Are they drinking today? Can you imagine? You've got to tell an adult, if you drink, don't drive. And if you drive, don't drink. You're kind of stupid, aren't you? You have to tell a man that? They drank in Noah's day. What else did they do? They married wives. Are they doing that today? Now, look at the next expression. It's not the same as the first. They married wives and they were given in marriage. That's not the same thing. And what are they doing today? Switching partners, all getting in a tub together, husband and wife, turn the lights out, mix up everybody. You think that's new? They did it in Noah's day. What else did they do? Well, that was enough, isn't it? That's plenty. Yet Noah walked with God, and Enoch walked with God. Now they tell me about peer pressure. And especially you youngsters in school, peer pressure. Well, I want to tell you, where you as a believer are concerned, peer pressure is nonsense. No unbeliever is your peer. You get me? No unbeliever is your peer. You are a member of the heavenly household, the highest social standing in the universe. Believer? Now that doesn't mean that you're proud or that you should be proud. But I'll tell you what it means. We are not better than that fellow on the outside. But we are better off. So don't tell me about peer pressure. Young people in school, no unbeliever is your peer, and if you have to stand alone, stay there.
Amen.
One man plus God. The majority. You remember the story of the little Sunday school boy? He came home, and his daddy asked him, "What did you learn today?" "Oh, I learned about David and the giant." "But daddy, that wasn't a fair fight." Well, daddy thought he was going to say the giant was too big. He said, "Why wasn't the fight fair?" He said, "David was bound to win from the beginning." The daddy asked him, "Why?" "God was with him." Peer pressure. Utter nonsense. So when you're in school and they try to squeeze you into their mold, refuse it. You're the child of God. Now, what is the key to walking with God? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. We know that well. The key to walking with God. And incidentally, I thought I started at 4:45. It's almost 4:50. Brother says, the time moves faster here than down where I am. All right. Amos 3 and 3. A question is asked, several questions are asked, and the answer to each question is no. But we will only read one question. Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. You can't walk with the Lord unless you are agreed with the Lord. He does not agree with you. You have to agree with him. Many years ago, in the other building, a lovely young sister, recently baptized, and on a Sunday morning, as I was at the back of the hall greeting the saints, she came up to me with a book. She said, "I saw this book. I got one for myself, and I got one for you." Wasn't that nice? She meant well. And I looked at the book and I said, "Now, sis, you stay there. Just sit down. And when I finish speaking to these people, we'll talk." What was the title of the book? I didn't have to read the book. You know what the title of the book was? "Jesus, Are You Running With Me?" Since when? Jesus doesn't run with you. You walk with him. That's what we need to do. And too many of you are asking Jesus to run with you, and you're running all over the place. Oh, I've heard about it. I know what's going on. I maintain contact. This is my home assembly. Now stop running around. Because the next fellow's grass may look greener, but when you get there, it's more withered than you find it here. If you think it's withered. Now, some of you tell me, "Well, the preaching is dull." That, too, in my opinion, is nonsense. And I will admit that maybe there are those who don't express themselves like others. You know what a sister told me years ago out in Colorado? She said, "You know, when a certain brother comes," well, two or three of them, she said, "I can't understand. I don't know what they're saying. But all I do is write down the scriptures that they're preaching from, and when I go home, I read them." And she died in the meeting. They're not going to get anything better out there. That's nonsense. I had that experience recently. You know, we have a little lawn in front of the house. And I looked across the street at the neighbors, and I said, "How does this keep so green and beautiful?" And I was a little, what I call, moth-eaten. So I walked across the street and looked at his lawn and thanked the Lord. This was more moth-eaten than mine. Young people, walk with the Lord. Stay where he has placed you. And as you read in Jeremiah chapter 2 or 3, stop gadding about. Stay where God has put you. Agreement. If you're to walk with the Lord, there must be agreement. Now, I am fascinated and interested in the young people. The older ones know all this. young men and young women, I beseech you. You know, when I thought it was time for me to be married, I asked the Lord for a wife, and there she is. 50 years in December. I had seen so much and heard so much in the assembly. I literally swore and vowed that I would never marry an unsaved woman. That was a vow. Don't do it. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. And don't you young ladies and young men try to convert this man and give him the right answers. It won't work. There must be agreement. I mentioned Brother Mac last Friday, didn't I? How many of you remember this statement? If you, as a believer, marry an unbeliever, Satan will be your father-in-law. Anybody remember that? Yes. That's the teaching we used to get. And it has stood the test of time. Satan, your father. Why are you talking about in-law trouble? Oh, you started off wrong. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. Now, the next thing, we hear people say, well, I want to see the Lord. I want to see. Do you know that you don't have to see the Lord to hear it? Do you know that? You remember in Luke 24, there were two on the way to Emmaus. They met the Lord and they didn't recognize him. And when it was all over, they said, our hearts burned within us while he talked. You didn't see him. They didn't know him. You don't have to see the Lord for him to speak to you. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 2. The Lord communicates with us through his word. Habakkuk chapter 2, do we all have it? Now, I'm going to read it incorrectly. The way many read it. And then you tell me what's wrong with my reading. You see, beloved, I always say speed reading is all right for the newspaper. See? But don't speed read the Word of God. Every word is important. Now I'm going to read chapter 2 of Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watch or my guard or my post and set me upon the tower, that is the watchtower, and will watch to hear what he will say unto me. Is your Bible read? Did I read it correctly? Well, how do you watch to see what he says? How can you see what somebody is saying? Huh? Can it be done? The brother just did it. He wrote a note. I imagine he told the brother the time was all fucked up. He put it there. The brother read it, and he read what he said. And when we read this book, we are reading what God says. We are reading what God says. This is God's word. And we need to understand this. It isn't partly God's word. The whole thing is God's word. And I think that's wonderful. That Almighty God would think enough of me to write something that I can read directly from him. He communicates with us through his word. And when you come to Hebrews, you find an interesting thing. There is an intimate relationship between the living word and the written word. Everything that's true of the living word is true of the written word, and everything that's true of the written word is true of the living word. So that when you read the word of God, you're reading what God says. And we need to develop the habit. Get, beloved, in a quiet place. Oh, that brings up something else. Hearing the voice of the Lord. Now, some of you were downstairs several years ago, and I don't know if I see any of you here, but somebody wanted to know, well, if he speaks to you, what is his voice like? And you know what? I saw them nudging each other. Says to say, we've got him now. All right. I said, fine. How many of you know the voice of your mother? All hands went up. Does anybody here remember that? No. And I selected one pupil and I said, please rise, describe the voice of your mother so that whenever I hear it, I will know it. She hasn't done it yet. But she knows the mother's voice, but she can't describe. Well, then I know the Lord's voice. But I can't tell you what it sounds like. But I'll give you some little indication. 1 Kings chapter 19. Hearing the voice of the Lord when you read the Word of God. You know the story well. Let's read verse 10. 1 Kings 19 and 10. Well, we better read 8 to get the full connection. He arose, that is Elijah, and did eat and drink. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. My, that must have been some meal. And you know, the Bible is beautifully scientific. Do you know how long can you live without food, without eating? Tell me. How long? How many? 40. You can live without eating for 40 days.
I didn't say you would be strong and healthy, but you can live.
And he had one meal that kept him for 40 days. Don't you find that remarkable? Interesting? Fascinating?
There are a lot of things in the Bible just like that. I'll mention one to you. I've mentioned it before.
CPR. You young people, what is CPR? Everybody that knows what CPR is, raise your hand.
Sure.
And raise it high. No, nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah, CPR. Fine. Now, when you do CPR, how do you place the position? Face up or face down? Huh? Really, face up. Remarkable. 50 years ago when they taught me, they said face down. But they learned in the 50 years. But when Elijah restored that young child, where was the child's face? And his mouth against mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Read the whole thing, it's fascinating. And it's in this book. All young people learn the Bible. Don't worry what those idiots tell you out there about the evolution and all that. So that's pure nonsense. Nothing can, as Romans 8 tells you, everything goes down. And if you want to be scientific about it, for you physicists, that's the Newton's second law of motion. Everything is decaying. And the Bible tells you that. And one thing is, one day it's all going to go wrong. The only thing that is eternal is the Lord himself, the Word of God, and the everlasting life that he gives us. Everything else is going to go. But now let's get to this voice. Verse 10, Elijah said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy government, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left. He was having a pity party. Feeling sorry for himself. Stop it, nonsense. Don't feel sorry for yourself. God has his people. All these people aren't here. There he's got them. Don't worry. I am the only one left. Oh, my. A real pity party. Feeling sorry. You ever feel sorry for yourself? Well, stop it. Nothing to feel sorry about. God knows what he's doing. But we read on. Verse 11. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And that was something. That was something. The Lord was not in the wind. You know, many people say, well, something spectacular has to happen. When you are having your wedding ceremony, would you want something spectacular to happen? Would you like a tornado? Or an earthquake? No. After the wind and earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. You see, these are all spectacular things. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Or as one version renders it, and I like that translation, a gentle, soft whisper. Now, one reason we don't hear the Lord's voice when we read the book is we don't keep still enough. We're moving too much. Child of God, if you're going to walk with the Lord and know what He has to tell you, you've got to keep still. Stay still. Find a place in your house. Close the door, and if necessary, close the windows and get alone with the Lord. You'll be thrilled. Now, some of you know my good friend Lloyd Rallis. He used to work down at Macy's. And during the lunch hour, he would go to the locker room and read his Bible. No, no, it was the Testament. I remember the Testament very well. This day he was reading, alone with the Lord. And he saw something there, and I tell you, there are these things in the Bible. And he said, wow! He didn't know that somebody else was in the locker room. This fellow came, are you all right? This book will do that for you. But you have to listen. Be quiet. Do you remember the game that they played with the children? I remember the first time they played at our house, the children. A little birthday party. They're about 3 or 4 years old. All 10 or 12 of them. Well, things went well for a while. After a while, they got restless. So one of the mothers took them and put them in a semicircle. And she said something to this one and wrote it down. Now you tell the next, and you tell the next, and when it came to the last, now you stand up and tell what you heard. Had nothing to do with what the first one said. We have to be quiet and listen. And one reason we look into the Word of God and don't get the mind of God is we don't stay there quiet enough. We're too anxious to have it our way. He communicates with us through His Word. Walking with the Lord. Now stop singing. In the world of music, there are 3 unfinished symphonies. At one meeting, I mentioned that, and one young lady knew all 3. Which was good. I don't know if anybody here, do you, anybody here know all 3 unfinished symphonies? Anybody here know 2? Everybody knows 1. Schubert, sure. I see our sister there. Well, Schubert never finished this symphony. We don't know why. He was a very forgetful man. Or maybe he didn't want to finish it. But he was the type of fellow that would write music and lose it. So he never finished this symphony. 2 movements and he didn't finish. Now, one day he was at an eating place in Germany. Famous place. The waitress knew who he was. And on the back of the menu, he wrote some music. And she kept that. He came back 3 or 4 months later, and she served him. And when the meal was over, she brought this music that he wrote. What do you think of this, Mr. Schubert? He says, well, I'll tell you, I don't know who wrote it, but whoever did write it was pretty good. That's the kind of man he was. So he never finished his symphony. People have tried without success. But there is another unfinished symphony. I don't have to tell you the composer, Béla Bartók, doesn't make any difference. He wrote a symphony and died before he finished it. Died midway. Another man continued the symphony and finished it. And when you hear the whole thing, you can't tell where the first man died and stopped and where the second one began. I wonder why. I wonder why. The second man was a pupil of the first man. He lived near him. He ate with him. He walked with him. He talked with him. He knew the man's mind, and he could finish the symphony. And if we're going to know the Lord's mind, we have to walk with him. You know that hymn? And he walks with me, and he talks. Has that ever happened to you? When's the last time you had a walk with him? Time's about up. Let me read something for you. Oh, by the way, one little quotation I have here. The man who walks close to God leaves no room for the devil to come between. All right? Close to God. The devil can't get in there. Which reminds me of another hymn that I heard. And it isn't in our hymn book. And I like our hymn book. Nothing Between. You know that hymn? I had the singular joy of hearing the son of the composer sing it. And I tell you, it was moving. Keep the way clear with nothing between. Walk with the Lord with nothing between. I'll just read this. And remember, when you walk with him, he makes no mistakes. Before I read it, these things come to mind. Story is told of a lady who was traveling with her daughter on a railroad train. And she had to get off at a certain place. And she asked, instead of asking the conductor, she asked one of the passengers. He said, well, that'll be the next stop. The train went and it stopped. And she and her daughter got off. And then when the conductor came, he said to this man, what happened to the people who were sitting here? Oh, she got off at the last stop. He said, that wasn't a station, that was an emergency stop out in the cold. But my Lord makes no mistake. When you walk with him, it's going to work well. And I'll just read this. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Walk with the Lord.
We thank our brother, Dr. Walter Bones, for that lovely word of encouragement. We must walk with the Lord. And when we walk with the Lord, we cannot make no mistake. Now we are going to continue. Well, first I'm going to read the announcement. The announcement tomorrow,